What does the Bible have to say about our current situation in life? Can we find any answers there about this present problem that we are all faced with? In other words, is the coronavirus God's punishment for a sinful world? Or is it simply something that has gotten out of hand? God leaves us to our own free will, and even nature takes its own course. Stuff just happens, and it's beyond God's ability to fix. Or is it something that God doesn't even think about? The coronavirus, the economy, our fears and anxieties mean nothing to Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Three thoughts from this text of Scripture today. First of all, the Bible teaches us that afflictions come to us by the will of God. Now, what do we mean by afflictions? Certainly, there's the prejudice and rough treatment that Christians receive in this fallen world, but there's also the troubles that are common to all people: sickness, disease, the flu, cancer, losing a family member, unemployment, underemployment, a depressed economy, coming to the end of your working days and finding most of your savings gone, being robbed, having an accident, losing your home, being falsely accused and slandered. And things can get so bad that you begin to lose hope and want to give up on life. You despair of life and feel like you're living under a death sentence. Now, Paul experienced much of this. We should expect the same. We're all human. Now, what do we mean that these kinds of afflictions come to us by the will of God? Well, it means that there are no accidents, that nothing surprises God or catches Him off guard. There's nothing that lies outside of His sphere of influence. There's nothing that is beyond His ability to understand and to control. It's a fundamental principle of the Bible and Christianity that God created this world, that it all belongs to Him, and that He continues to work in and through His creation so that His perfect will is done. God created this world. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All that God created belongs to Him. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it. And His perfect will is certainly going to be done. Psalm 115. Our God is in the heavens, and He does whatever He pleases. If something bothersome comes into your world, a new strain of flu, an economic collapse, a disruption of your comfortable routine, coming and going as you would like, you and I can be assured that God has some purpose and plan for it. This thing, this very thing, in this very place, at this specific point in time, is part of God's will. Now, the alternative is simply horrible, isn't it? To think that anything could be beyond God's control, or that it would exist without God's permission, that there could be some thing that was more powerful than God. And it would be just as horrible to conclude that God must not care, or that God is simply being mean, or that He's playing a cruel game with us. Paul would remind us that the God who brings afflictions into our lives is the same God mentioned in verse 3, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Now, afflictions do not necessarily come because we've done something wrong and need to be punished. A careful reading of the first two chapters of Job dispels that notion once and for all. Job, a man who was blameless and upright and feared God and turned away from evil. Yet his whole world caved in on top of him. Now, sometimes people do rebel, and God does punish them. A simple reading of Genesis 6 about the flood, or Genesis 19 about fire falling from heaven, shows us that. And the New Testament uses those familiar Old Testament stories as a clear call for people to repent. Why God sends afflictions is not always clear. More important is to know how to respond to them. And this we do know. Afflictions, whatever the reason, come to us as part of the will of God. Second, the Bible teaches that these afflictions that come to us come for our good. God is a good God. He's doing a good work. Philippians chapter 1, Paul assures us that this good God who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And certainly here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about a good God doing a good work, a Father of mercies, a God of all comfort, who is passionate about comforting us. And the New Testament is full of this assurance of God's goodness. And I'm going to read now from the New Living Translation, but listen to Romans 5. Paul says, "We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love." Or Hebrews 12, "God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." And then James chapter 1. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." And then 1 Peter chapter 1, "Be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. Your faith is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." I hope you get the picture. Our loving Father in heaven uses the common afflictions of this life, the trials and troubles and pain of this life, for our good, working in us the grace of endurance, developing our Christian character, strengthening our hope, filling us with a sense of God's love, sweeping out the old remnants of indwelling sin, proving that our faith is genuine and making us strong in faith. The whole experience has the effect of making us solid Christians who stand on the rock of Jesus Christ Himself. There's an old Arab proverb that says, "All sunshine and no rain produces a desert." Sunshine is good, but all sunshine and no rain is simply going to dry everything up and scorch the earth. If everything always went the way that you and I wanted it to, and there were no storms and no rain, no trials, troubles, afflictions, we would soon dry up emotionally and spiritually. God is a good God, and He's doing a good work. And then third and finally, the Bible teaches that afflictions come to us for the good of God's church. Writing from a Roman prison to his Philippian friends, Paul said, "I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear." Now here's a bad thing. Paul is in jail. He's been falsely accused, arrested, dragged off to a faraway city to stand trial. He's confined to one place, and he cannot come and go as he would like. And yet he says, look at this good thing that God is doing for his church. People are hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel has penetrated even into the guardhouse where the soldiers live. Most of the Christians here in Rome are so much more confident and ready to speak out on behalf of Christ because of this bad thing that has now happened to me. God uses our afflictions for the good of his church. Here in 2 Corinthians, the progression of Paul's thought is simply this. God brings some problem or difficulty into our lives. God then comforts and strengthens us. And we take that comfort that we receive and we share it with others. Verse 4, the God who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So that. Here, Paul is unfolding God's great and gracious plan and purpose. So that we may be able. Afflictions and difficulties and the disruptions of our daily life only serve to call out of us some treasure and strength that lays hidden. So that we may be able to comfort. That is, reach out and embrace someone else with the compassion of Christ. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Others are going through a hard time. It's not just us. Others are experiencing fear and worry and loneliness, confusion, and even anger. Others are struggling with their own sin and selfishness. They need to feel what we've come to feel in the presence of Christ, the cleansing grace of God, the joyful grace of repentance and faith, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Whatever it is that they're going through, God enables us to share what we've learned in our situation, whatever that may be, so that others can see that God is a very present help for them in their time of trouble. Today, remember that God is sovereign over all of life and all of his creation. It is his world. And he is holding the whole world in his powerful hands. Remember that God is kind and loving, merciful and gracious. God is working all things together for your good and for my good. And then remember that God wants you to use what you learn for the good of his church. Whatever affliction you are enduring today, whatever fear or anxiety or stress or sense of hopelessness that is threatening you right now, know that God wants to use you and your weakness. He wants to fill you with his strength so that you can turn and comfort others with the goodness of Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say.